Good morning, church. Imagine a time when you were deeply shocked or deeply bothered. You're deeply bothered by something, but later you're going to find out it's going to be okay. Have you ever had that experience? I mean, other than how we sit today and all of that. The human move from shock or outrage or grief or being bothered to understanding and acceptance is a hard move. If it's grief, it takes stages. They've done a lot of research on that. The stress makes it hard to move off the initial emotions and the feelings and complicates the issue. Let's read the text this morning. This is from John 20, verses 1 through 10. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. Remember that shorthand for John. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stopped in and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, and while the cloth that had covered Jesus's head had been folded up and was lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, he still hadn't understood the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. The disciples had been through what I would say was not just a hard few days, but maybe the most grueling of days. Jesus had been arrested and betrayed by one of them. They'd seen that happen. They'd seen Jesus just ripped away from them. He was tried and beaten, which some of them watched, right? Peter and John attest to this, that they got to see it. They heard the cock crow three times. They had been accused. They'd run away. He'd been tried and beaten again and then crucified after carrying the cross through the center of town, and he had died. Can you imagine the frame of a mind that they're in, afraid of being arrested too? But can you, I mean, just be here for a moment. It's not just that all this had happened, but that he was their hope. Their national hope. It is as though the person they've been waiting for all their lives and all their parents' lives and all their parents' lives, they had been in on the ground floor. They'd seen it happen and it was gone. Poof. But now they're running with this report. They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him. We should know at this point that there is a huge amount of outrage and just, look, they were hiding in the upper room, says the other gospels, behind locked doors. They were there running, who knows how far away it was, could have been a mile or two or a couple of miles. Anyway, they ran the whole way, adrenaline pumping. They to see this thing. So they get to the tomb and they see the coverings that had been on Jesus's body laying there, and off to one side, one of them folded and set apart. I want to say that a lot of biblical interpreters make a lot of grist from the folding of the of the headcloth separately, that they spend time just doing this, and they do this with biblical words as well. Like they take it, and it's like it's a sponge that your life depends on it being bone dry, and so you squeeze it and you squeeze it for your life's thing. But some of you will know I don't enjoy that process. I don't actually think it's completely correct. I mean, we could talk about that when they fold up their garment, they know they're done for the day and all this stuff. The one thing in here that the folding really says is this. If they're just taking the body and they're sort of unwrapping it and desecrating it and anything like that, why are they taking time to fold up the wrappings? If they're folding up the wrappings of the head and they're doing something else and rewrapping it, why would they do that? Here's the thing, that there's this disjuncture in what's going on, that the wrapping of the head thing means to them at that moment that somebody didn't take the body, and they believe at this point what Jesus had said to them, that Jesus must rise from the dead. There's something in that moment. Can you put yourself in that moment when the week that you've been spending has been so bad and so horrible that you're actually locked inside your house, cowering in case somebody comes to the door? Except for, isn't that exactly kind of where we've been for 9 months? We've sort of, some of us have hidden behind this thing. And how do we get to the spot where we run, we're in outrage, we're in grief, we're doing this, we're running full distance, and just like that, our attitudes and our understandings change from that position to trust. It says it this way in verse 9. For until then, they hadn't understood the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. Verse 10, then they went home. They ran up there, looked at him, went, and then back. You know, the other gospels talk about angels, and they do all that stuff. This doesn't have that in here. But what it does do is it does chronicle their moment of trust, that they saw and believed and they trusted, and they just went home. Now, many other stories in the other gospels have them still behind locked doors. Can you imagine trusting that Jesus has risen from the dead and walking home, and then you're going back into the room with all the other people that are still scared? This is the way we live nowadays in the days of COVID-19. Are there angels? Are there special meanings in the folded head coverings? Are there locked doors that Jesus appears in? Yes. Does he do that for everybody? No. And we need to take just a moment to make sure that sometimes the biblical stories are not normative. Just because the Bible says that this happened doesn't mean that you should expect that you should be able to walk into a tomb and see folded head coverings every time you need a faith boost. But there are times where there are examples, not normative, where there are examples where this is what's happening. And Peter and John, who have run to this spot, they make a really quick transition from panic, from adrenaline, from grief, from anger, straight in to, and they saw and believed. Look, we've spent most of the last year, most of a year, really in lockdown because of COVID. We are in a dark place. There's a moment here, though, that somewhere in us, we need to find one spot, and one spot particular. That regardless, just like last week, when we talked about the different question that we need to ask, that regardless of what's going on, we need to know and see God at work and trust him that he's going to get us home. Look, so last week, What was the question we talked about last week? We talked about the difference between how could God allow this to who does God want me to be in this situation? This day, we need to not just ask the different question, but act and react out of this understanding that God has got us no matter what's going on. It might be the worst year of your life. This might be the worst week of your life. You might have had the worst time of your life. The Lord has you. And if you could just see and believe that He has you, He can take you from a place of panic or strickenness or grief or any of that straight into a place where He's got you. And you'll trust, and you can just, and you can come into this spot from outrage all the way into faith and understanding. And then you'll have the ability to live out that question, who does God want me to be in this situation? It was early on Sunday morning, and it was still dark. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and she said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." I'm sure that it didn't read, "They've taken the Lord's body, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple started from the tomb, and they were running. And the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first, and he stopped, and he looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He noticed the linen wrappings lying there, and while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. Today, as we move to a time of prayer, my prayer is that not only will you see and understand and remember, but that you will see and believe that the Lord has you and that He rose from the dead to make a way for you. Lord Jesus, this morning we ask specifically that you would be with us, that you would move us from emotions that are disruptive, that destroy our ability to comprehend clearly, that you would move us in such a way that we can live in a moment of faith regardless of the circumstances we live in. In your precious name, Lord. Amen.